The Elvis Cast with Grant Bench.
Hello and welcome to part three of our memories from Sue in Las Vegas. Today we're going to hear about the times that she saw Elvis in that amazing showroom in the Hilton or International in Las Vegas.
Okay, so I can go through, let me mention the dates that I do remember. So I have February 13th, 1970. I have August 21, 1970, which was a week after That's the Way It Is. I remember my dad complaining about the cameras in the kitchen. and then 1970, I don't remember. In 1972, I saw him on August 18th, and I was with my girlfriends. I wasn't driving yet, so it had to be coordinated, you know, with my mom or somebody else's mom so we could get down there. And when we had that picture taken, I had cognizance of mine. And I like to say I learned a lot from Colonel Parker about organizing and memorizing data because I would study the record labels. Who wrote the songs? Who was the producer? What year did this come out? So that when I got into major collecting, I would look at orange labels and black labels and red labels, and I'd say, okay, I got to look at all these details because I know what this means. So I wrote the date on the top of the calendar and the menu that we had at the time. I carefully placed it on the table. So I had all these markers to say, okay, this is when we had this picture taken. So again, that's August 18th, 1972. 73, I don't remember. In 74, I went to opening night. Oh. I learned that from my friend. Go ahead, Grant. What?
Opening night, 74? Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. That year, I said, okay, instead of going on a Friday or Saturday night with my mom's schedule, let's see, 1974, how old was I? 17. So I, no, wait a minute. Oh, I can't do the math right now. So I'm trying to remember when I could drive myself. I had seen the show, and I belonged to the Hound Dogs Elvis Fan Club. They were wonderful to me. Carl Obermeyer. I know he's passed, but he was great to me. And he says, you're my connection in Las Vegas. If you could send me newspaper articles, I will print everyone in the newsletter. Anybody who has those newsletters, I would be thrilled to get either the original or a copy. So the other thing I was getting at the time was Elvis Monthly. And I wrote them. Remember, there's no email. There's no phone calls. All you could do was do stuff by mail. I wrote them and I said, I saw Elvis in January. Would you like my review? They said, oh, absolutely. You know, considering I live here. So I wrote the review and they put it in their magazine. Years later, our mutual friends, Carol and Brenda, I'm telling them about this. And they said, you know, we're collecting every one of the old Elvis monthlies and we'll research that for you. I said, oh, that would be great. So they come and visit me and they said, here's the magazine. Oh, my goodness. And I look at the date and I said, oh, I was there opening night. They said, here's some pictures from the show. No. And they said, here's the bootleg recording of the show. Oh, my God. And I found out on opening night, Jack Lord was there. I go, how could I forget that? But I had. And Diane Cannon was in the audience. She was a very busy actress at the time. But I saw Jack Lord. Holy cow. So that was the opening night because I wanted to know what opening night was like. And then the rest of the month was like, this is a real bummer because I don't have anything to look forward to. I only could afford to go see Elvis once. So then I see him on, and I want to get this date exactly right, September 1st, 1974. I was struggling with this date because I knew I had seen him, but I couldn't figure out what date. And the big thing always about that time period was the concert where Elvis was very angry and he cursed people out and all of that. So then I stumbled across this picture, and it's Charlie helping Elvis put on a karate gi, and Elvis is wearing the tiger suit. And I'm looking at this picture, and I go, it's like I took it. That is the exact view that I remember. So with a lot of research and everything, you know, because I had these websites I visited over and over again to try and give me clues. What show did you go see? Because I had a diary but I got rid of it when my brothers invaded my privacy. So I had the dates, I had the song list, all that stuff gone, because I was so irritated by what they had done. So I finally figured out, this is September 1st. I go, that's a Sunday. Why in the heck would I go on a Sunday? Then it clicks on me and said, oh, that's Labor Day weekend. I would have had the next day off. So, of course, I went on September 1st. And then when I got the whole date figured out, I went, oh, bingo. Years later, I find out that Judy Palmer Bendenwald now had taken those pictures. And I don't know how I figured it out, but she was the president of the Kiss and Cousins Club back then. And I think I had been a member for 1 year. So anyhow, I'm in Memphis. And at that Elvis week, they had a convention sort of in the pavilion. And I make it to her table because she's selling her new book. And I'm waiting for someone to finish her conversation. When that was done, I'm going to plug in my phone. I show her the picture that I have saved. I even got to meet Charlie once and had him sign it. I have all these different copies of this picture. I said, this is you, isn't it? She said, yeah, I took that picture. I fell on her crying because here's this connection with someone long ago who was near me seeing that show and this connection to the past. You know, it's like, oh, here's somebody else who saw Elvis in person in Las Vegas. And on top of it, it's a show I went to. And I told her where I had been sitting. And she said, I must have been two or three tables away from you because I always sat at the end of the table to take pictures. Oh, my, that was it. We were bonded for life.
Yeah, that does. I mean, to be sitting right there. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And the memory of that show stayed with me even when I became a dormant Elvis fan. So I can tell, I want to tell you the story of that. So I'm sitting way over on the left and he's queuing up If You Talk in Your Sleep. And I really, really like that song. I wanted it to do well on the radio. I will say the songs that did well on the radio here was I'm Leaving, Burnin' Love. I'll never forget that. That was a heck of a summer. And I wanted If You Talk in Your Sleep to do well, but I don't think it did well. The country station, see, I would flip from country station to pop station. So sometimes the country station, like when Elvis Country came out, then they were playing Elvis cuts. And when the records would come out that Elvis did, and I'd recognize, I'd say, oh, that's a George Jones song. Oh, that's Waylon Jennings. So to me, it wasn't an Elvis song. It was him covering somebody else, and he always did a great job of it. So it's in the middle of the show. This song comes out, and Elvis starts talking about karate. And he's explaining about the levels and the work you got to do in it. And so then he puts on this jacket with Charlie, and he puts his glasses on. I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is all stuff I never seen before. And, you know, he's still talking, and I hear, you know, the audience is like, okay, we came here to see him sing. Why is he talking so much? Then Elvis mentions, when you get ready to show your stuff to prove what you know to get your belt, you do a kata. And I could be saying it wrong. He says, it's like a dance thing that you're doing, and I'd like to show that to you. So he goes over to the left of the stage, and they're still doing the music. And I think I remember him looking at the band like, you know, keep it rolling. And yeah, with Ronnie Tutt's help on the drums, Elvis does this thing all the way across the stage. And you can see videos of this now on YouTube. He looks like he's killing three guys. He gets done and the audience is like, wow, they just explode, because that's never been done before. And that's what I loved about Elvis. Everybody else was a crooner and they were in a nice suit and shiny shoes and a bow tie, and Elvis did everything different. And that's what I got to brag about him being here in Las Vegas. He truly, truly brought rock and roll to the stage because he was in the main showroom, not the lounge shows where there would be rock and roll. No, he nailed it because he was a superstar filling the showroom. bringing in the gamblers and the high rollers, bringing in people from all around the world. And I would meet these people standing in line, England, Germany, Japan, all these different accents from around the United States. I would say to myself, forget high school and all those stupid people. Look at what I'm doing, standing in line, and I'm going to go see Elvis. This beats anything that they could ever try to tell me that I'm, you know, I'm nobody, I'm not good enough, and all that stuff. That was one of the gifts that Elvis gave me.
I'm getting chills hearing you talk about that. I mean, that
karate thing was absolutely amazing. And to this day, and I have it with Judy and some other people. Yep, when I hear that song, I remember Elvis doing that karate thing. And this is the first time I learned later that he wore the tiger suit. I remember when that came out, I went, this is absolutely gorgeous. That was a suit I remembered. I couldn't remember every suit. I did see him in the Fringe. I remember that. I saw him in a Cisco. I remember him wearing two-piece suits. And I guess that's it. Some of it, I just had to learn by looking things up on the website. And I'd say, why can't I remember the suits? Well, I guess it just wasn't important, but that one. And I got to say, when I was in Memphis last March, I was so thrilled to be in the museum, and the tiger suit was on display. I had to grab somebody. I said, you got to take a picture of me with this suit because I saw Elvis in this. And so, of course, she got all excited, and she calls over. She goes, this lady right here, she saw Elvis in this suit. It was kind of a cool moment because I'm having to talk about the show too, and because I know everybody wants to get whatever they can from an eyewitness. So that's September 74. I saw him in the weekend of March 22, 1975. He had to cancel or postpone from February. I remember being in. See, where was I? I was back of the showroom. But my memory also tells me when I was sitting in the balcony, what happened is I had an English pen pal, and he introduced me to a photographer that was, I guess, his pen pal or friend. His name was Howard Wallen. I have learned that he has passed away. But Howard and I kind of hit it off, but you also got to remember he was much older and I'm only like 17. So I'm really nervous like hanging around with this guy. So I went to my show and he invites me back the next day and he's going with my English pen pal. He says, how would you like to go see Elvis both shows tomorrow? I'm like, really? He goes, on me. This is what he says. And I went, okay. And I remember the experience, not the show so much, but we left the dinner show. We got back in line and we're going up the stairs of the balcony. I went, this is great. You know, I'm seeing Elvis back to back. Absolutely amazing. So my strong memory of the last show that I went to. I guess sitting on the ground floor, I had a different view of Elvis, but he was in the two-piece suit and he was sitting and... He was night and day. I can't help it. He was a tiger in 1974. He's there in March 75, and he had, to me, gained weight, and he had to sit down. And I thought, what's going on, Elvis? What is this all about? And I kind of felt guilty seeing him. It's like, I'd rather you stay home instead of me seeing you in a show. His voice was great as ever. And then he did something different because I paid attention to the song titles. And I didn't remember this until I was listening to a bootleg. And as I was listening to this bootleg and the song came on, I went, I was there when he did that. And it was the Bobby Darin song, You're the Reason I'm Living.
Wow.
And it was that single clue that helped me remember that I saw him that weekend because I saw Elvis myself on Friday. And so the other 2 days, the other two shows had to be Saturday. That's what I'm remembering. I'm not looking at a calendar right now. But to be able to say, I was there, and you know what? And then there's no video, but I remember. He was way over on the right-hand side of the stage, and he was talking to a fan, and I Maybe she said it to him. I don't know. But he just starts the song, and you can hear it on the bootleg where he's guiding the band, do this key and that key. And, you know, the backup singers, they're professionals. They know how to join in and back him up as he's singing this song. So when that all came together in my research and my memory, that was another fantastic moment.
Wow.
So
I'm going to have to go and put that show on in a moment now. Actually, you've said that.
Yes, yes. And to, you know, learn with internet days, that was a one-off, and I was there. I was just, I was just so thrilled and flabbergasted. It's like, I get to connect dots like that. I was an eyewitness to that. Is that absolutely freaking fantastic? I have the memories of Elvis singing the Hawaiian wedding song and him walking over to Kathy Westmoreland and putting the lei around. It was like, oh, isn't that just so beautiful?
Oh.
So then I went to the, after a long way, oh gosh. So I graduated from high school June 1975. I'm remembering other memories now from earlier shows, but I'll just keep on going. So I'm stationed in Hawaii. I asked to go there because I'd always loved Hawaii. And then I knew there was places connected with Elvis. I remember the first time seeing a concert in the Blaisdell Arena. I said, this place is so big. It's huge. And I'm trying to think to myself, you know, with the audience there, what was it like when Elvis did his concert? And places like Hanama Bay. Okay, this is where he did Blue Hawaii. One thing I like to think about in connection with Hawaii was Elvis's last vacation. I didn't know about this till years later, but as soon as I did with the pamphlet with the pictures in it, it became attached to my heart because I said to myself, this is the closest I was to Elvis before he died. So, anyway, so I'm stationed in Hawaii, and Elvis' performance comes up December 1976. I said, oh, this is great. I'll go visit my family for Christmas. And I bought the ticket through the mail. It was the only way to do it. And you couldn't just make a reservation. This was the first time, and I guess the only time, although I've heard about Lake Tahoe, where you had to have a ticket. And I remember my dad saying, it's about time. This is what we used to have in Radio City Music Hall in New York. There was none of this jostling around and having to pay people stupid money to go sit where you wanted to go sit. Because I was just lucky with the captain that my dad knew. And when I was with my mom, she'd slip him some money. He did some nice things for me, I got to say. So I get off the plane. I remember telling my mom, bring my winter coat because I'm going to be freezing to death. I get off the plane because of the temperature change. And at the airport, I don't know how it came up. I guess I was talking about what I was going to do that night because I scheduled my Navy leave to coincide with Elvis being in Las Vegas. And this was his very last day, December 13, 1976. And my dad says, you're not here to see us. You're here to see Elvis. Busted. Busted. And he wasn't too happy about it either. I think part of it was, you know, I wasn't daddy's little girl anymore. I had, you know, although I love my dad, I was just, you know, Elvis crazy. What can I say? So I went to the show. Sitting way up in the balcony, I said, God, he's so far away. And like, I've got something to complain about because now that I've learned about concerts in these huge places that Elvis would play, I was very fortunate. All the times that I sat in the tables close to the stage, maybe a little further back a couple times, and then being in the balcony a couple times, I got nothing to complain about. So again, Elvis was not in the best of health, and I felt horrible being there. And I remember thinking in my head, why doesn't somebody do something? And what I meant by that was tell him, hey, you know, it's okay. Just stay home. Take care of yourself. I didn't think about contracts and obligations and things like that. I don't remember the show, but through my ears, I do.
Hmm.
The way he sang Hurt, the way he did How Great Thou Art. When he started to sing Reconsider, Baby, I went nuts and I said, Elvis, that's the kind of stuff you should be singing, not You Gave Me a Mountain and all that other stuff. You know, these big bombastic songs. To this day, I can't listen to American Trilogy. The only way I like it is when I watch it, because the way he did it was such a production, and the way I would hear it, you know, I remember when he would have JD sing, the tables would vibrate and you would see the tablecloth shaking. And then he'd reach the high point and then the American flag would show up and the lighting that they had in that showroom showing the stars or whatever. Seeing American Trilogy, so much better than just listening to it.
I don't know about you, but I got goosebumps listening to Sue describe Elvis on stage doing Trilogy. Very, very special. And there are so many more special memories to come soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Elvis Cast. Subscribe or follow the show on your podcast platform of choice. Just search for Elvis Cast. All the links and contact information can be found on my website, elviscast.com.